We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
You get a preview of how things are going to move on, but you haven't left yet. And it kind of just makes you realize, like, hey, I thought I was so critical that I had to be here every day.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, everyone. It's our favourite part of the podcast. Always do up first the Shoot Your Shot shout out. This is where we're shouting out you guys, our listeners from around the world. You've gone out there, you've tried something, you've used our advice, and you've got an update for us. Now, I thought I'd throw in a little disclaimer here that we always shout out people who have shouted us a coffee. You don't have to in order to get on this segment necessarily. Like, we grab our shout outs from all over the place. But I think it's just a bit of a coincidence that the people who want to support the show financially by shouting us a coffee tend to be the people who have just the most incredible stories and, like, are just the most cool that we want to share. So this week we're shouting out Clara, who was so generous and shouted us 3 coffees. Thank you, Clara. What did she say?
She said, I can't thank you, Emma and Sarah, enough for all the tips and support through the process of resigning to a job I never liked to getting the job in my dream place. At one point, I started losing faith because even when I was having the best interviews, thanks to your guidance, they would always go for someone with more experience. Today, I had the interview that changed everything when it felt that I didn't need to try so hard and I still got offered the job. I blame the endless hours listening to your tips when interviewing became something that I used to dread, to the fine art of being able to sell myself and not even have to think about it. For now, it's the foot in the door, it's a short-term contract, but it's in my dream company, so I can only see possibilities afterward. And even if there's nothing after the contract runs its course, I can't put into words how much you've helped me to understand that the right job is worth waiting for and that I am worth it. Thank you again for everything, Clara. How amazing. What a patient gal. Sometimes it does really take time and to stay confident even when you keep getting knocked back and just missing out. It can be so painful.
And, like, losing out to someone else because they had more experience, like, you can't interview your way out of that sometimes. Like, if you're getting that feedback and people are saying, hey, we really, really liked you, just this person had more experience, that genuinely means that you did such an incredible job. It's just that thing that we talk about of being the runner up. It's just a matter of time. If you keep doing the same stuff, it's going to work out. And also, I really love the bit in there where she said, I blame, like, your tips for the reason why it felt so easy. I like the idea of, like, I blame you. This is your fault that it was easy.
And I'm such an advocate for the short-term contract. Depends what stage of life you're in, but I love the embracing of it. Like, yes, bring it on. Dream company, opportunities will come. Abundance mindset, so good.
Yep, totally. Now, if you want results like Clara and maybe you need a little bit more support, you can do a one-on-one session with me personally. I chat with people all around the world. And don't worry, don't be intimidated. Some people say they get a bit nervous. I'm just a person sitting in a room talking to my sister. And it's kind of strange that, like, lots of people are listening and it's not intimidating. It'll be fine. Don't worry. You can check out one-on-one sessions if you've got a particular situation you need a bit of help with. Or Interview Academy is the step-by-step-by-step process. It's the questions, it's the processes, it's the tips, the brainstorming prompts, the workbooks. It will step you through everything you need to do without wasting time on the wrong kind of prep for your interview. I am so proud of it, and I'm working on lots more new features as well. So go check out all about both of them, interviewboss.com.au/coaching. And if you're really not sure which was right for you, send us an email. We'll talk it through.
Yes, and as always, if you would like to request an episode on your conundrum or industry, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and we just might dedicate a whole episode to you. Side note, everyone's been listening. Our Instagram follow account is looking healthy. I'm very, very impressed and grateful, so thank you so much. But this week, we're going to be talking about quitting, resigning, you're walking away from the job, but it seems like no one cares.
Yeah. This, I think if you are planning on resigning soon, like maybe it's not on the horizon, you're not even actually getting offers yet, but this is a really good one to listen to. If you are in a current job and you're listening to this podcast, then maybe this is going to be in your future, we hope. You might not expect this to sneak up on you, but, and I certainly haven't had this episode requested by anyone, but it's more of an episode you need to hear, not the one that you want to hear or that you asked for, if that kind of makes sense.
You are good at like identifying these kind of episodes and delivering them, and then people end up really loving it and resonating with it, even though we didn't know it's what we needed. So thank you.
Yeah. Because it's like the question might be something different. It might be like, hey, this workplace was horrible and here's what they did and, you know, blah, blah, blah on the way out. And I'm not going to, you know, debate with someone. I don't know what happened in your workplace. That might be true for all I know. But there's a lot of times where if you're judging a workplace by what they were like after you resigned or how you experienced things after you resigned, I've seen it on the other side. And I think you need to listen to this episode in case this happens to you. So paint us the picture, Em. How are we ending up in this situation? What's happened?
Well, we've put in our notice, obviously. Maybe you were really dreading the conversation and feeling really bad about leaving. If you listened to our episode last week, I spoke about how I have an irrational fear about resigning. And if I were to resign, I feel like I would get interrogated and I would end up being like, don't worry about it. I'm actually going to stay. So
I've changed my mind.
Maybe that's you. You're feeling bad about the timing, your team has heaps on their plate, or it's just, you know, it's going to put them in a hard position. And then all of a sudden you notice that you're getting left off meeting invites. Projects are just getting reassigned to someone else without any discussion. Your manager seems maybe really distant. Your colleagues, they're bonding over the next chapter without you. Maybe they're interviewing for your replacement and they're all buzzing and being like, oh, Kelly sounds amazing. She's this bigwig from overseas who has all this amazing experience. Like, she's going to propel us so far. Maybe there's not really a farewell or a really half-hearted one. There's a stale cupcake tray going around with, you know, a card that two people signed.
Or there's just a card and no other kind of event or anything like that.
Some people might not even make the effort to come over and, you know, wish you all the best. It just kind of feels like you leave for the last time being like, did anyone even care to wish me good luck in my future life?
Yeah. People can start really, really, really spiraling over this. I've seen it happen and I get where it comes from as well, because I can understand why, particularly if you've been somewhere a really long time. I think if you've put your heart and soul into something and it's been maybe a long time or maybe like a particularly tough time too, like it's been a rough go and finally you have put in your notice, it can really feel like, well, are you not even going to miss me? Like, was I not valued? Does my job not even matter that much? Like, you're just all going to be fine without me. Everybody's kind of thinking about the next things already. Like, maybe none of it mattered. And like, it can really hurt. Like, it can really genuinely hurt. And it can catch people off guard because they weren't expecting to feel like this. And potentially they were expecting something different.
When you just said before, it feels like, are you all just, what, going to be fine without me? In my head, I went, well, yeah, every workplace is going to be fine without everyone.
I know,
if you're thinking of it from the other side, every time a colleague leaves my workplace, you miss the person and you'll miss like having them around. But like within a week or so, pending there's, you know, sometimes a bit of an awkward gap, maybe people are busier, like it does just pick back right up where it left off. And within a week or so, that new person, it feels normal and like, it does move on. And that's not because people hated you. That's just the daily grind of working in the same job. Like every day you've got things on your to-do list. There's no time to dwell.
Yeah. And also, you're often in a situation where these aren't your friends. You know what I mean? They're your colleagues. It's a different thing than them being your actual friends. You hung out and you talked and you were close because you work together every day. I think that can play into it a bit as well, where some people get those things mixed up a little bit. And I maybe go too far the other way. I think being in HR makes that a little bit harder sometimes.
You're cold-hearted and just think, see ya.
Well, no, I don't think just see ya. I keep in touch with people to a certain extent, but I also just don't do the thing that other people do where they pretend like you're just going to continue to have the same relationship with those people, even though you work somewhere else. Like, you're not.
You were work friends.
And I don't know whether that's me being cynical or whether it's just being more realistic.
I mean, I have friends that graduated from work friends to outside of work friends, but that happened while you were in the company and you consistently for 2 years have caught up outside of work as friends. But for the rest of them,
you will keep some people, but they're going to be the closest people. It's not just all of the people that you continue to stay at that same level of in touch with. So I think that's a little side note on the friendships.
And I wouldn't want to. That's a lot of work. How are you supposed to manage all your family and actual friends plus the whole office that you've ever been in for your whole employment history?
Yeah. It's the same with things like leaving school though. Like you keep the closest ones and the ones that were peripheral start to fade away the further away you get from that period of time. Like it's a very similar thing, I think. But I touched on something before where I said you maybe expected something a bit different. And I think that word expect is kind of the key here. There were expectations that you had about how this would go, and maybe the reality isn't meeting what you expected. And so I think in a second, we're going to touch on what were those expectations, and maybe were they just something you didn't even realize you were expecting, but now that it's happened, yeah, you kind of did want a farewell actually, and like you didn't really realize that until it didn't happen. So I think that's really the key, is that the difference between what you expected and maybe how you expected things to feel and how they really do feel. But let's go into why it hurts. I think it can feel like you're leaving behind this identity of this job that you're in, this company you worked for. You use the word we when you talk about the company. Like there's a real sense of connectedness. And then you're going through this period of like, oh, I'm leaving. You wanted a bit of closure and recognition of like losing that part of you, almost a grieving process. And you're not really getting it maybe in the way you hoped.
Like where you work is a huge part of your identity. You're deeply entrenched in it. It's what you go home and vent to your partner about. It's what your family members ask you about when you're catching up at, you know, family gatherings. It's a huge part of your life. And yeah, your colleagues, all of the micro nuances. So to be walking away from that, even when you initiated it, is kind of like, it's a fear of missing out almost, like, oh, I'm going to miss like these projects and oh, I'm not going to feel included. And when I see the socials, or it's a loss.
I just had a bit of a light bulb as you were saying that. It's almost like you're leaving the world as you know it. Things happen in a certain way. And then the way that you expected it to happen is that you leave and that you just get to continue imagining that everything happens the same way, except you're not there and there's a hole left or something. Except it's almost like during this period, you get a preview of how things are going to move on, but you haven't left yet. And it kind of just makes you realize like, hey, maybe things weren't that important. Maybe this wasn't so, like there's a reconciliation going on of like, I thought I was so critical that I had to be here every day. And hold on, like within 2 days, people have all just like found a way to do things without me. When you're not there and they find a way to do things without you, I think that, you know, you'll never know. But
yeah, I was talking to an old colleague on the weekend and he left radio to do something entirely different, to go and be a truck driver. And he said to me, it's crazy how much you realize like, oh, radio is like not really that important to regular people. But when you're in it, oh, we're doing the most important job in the world and like we're doing it for the people. And it's like, that's like any workplace. It doesn't have to be just radio. But when you're in it, you're surrounded by people. It's a hive mind. And then as you're slowly getting dragged out and your perspective widens, you're a bit like, oh, yeah, things are going to keep going. And this wasn't that important.
Yeah, totally. I think people often think as well that their exit needs to reflect the entirety of the things that they've contributed kind of thing. Like it has to sum up everything you've done for us. We're going to say thank you for in the exit. Well, I think that they've already said thank you for a lot of that stuff. Like I think, but there's this perception that like.
Yeah, so true.
You get your service medal and all your big thanks when you're leaving.
It's got to be as big of a song and dance as you contributed. So if you get nothing, that must mean you didn't really do anything and we don't care. But if you, you know, change so much for the company, if you were a star employee, like it's kind of like, well, there should be a balloon garland and we should all have a bar tab and go out for drinks and everyone should go around the room and say heartfelt speeches about what I've meant to them, like, which is just unrealistic.
And it can feel really personal and you might be comparing to maybe other people's farewells or things that you've contributed to or whatever. And that person had only been here 12 months and they got this and I only got the same thing. And like there can be this kind of comparison, I think.
Which I'd understand. If you've seen like everyone pitch in for a gift and everyone write the card and the manager be really sincere and say lovely things and organize some after work drinks. And then it's kind of like, yeah, well, I do expect that, but for good reason, because I've seen that happen. And so it feels like I formed that expectation off a bit of reality. And so that would sting if then I'm the only one that doesn't seem to get that.
Yeah, completely. Okay, now let's go into some of the things that I think will help reframe this and maybe understand it a little bit better from some different perspectives and hopefully avoid you getting caught off guard by this feeling. So I think the very first one is it's just practical. It's not personal. It's not about you as a person and what you've contributed and how people feel about you suddenly revealing itself. I think particularly this is the case when your team have too much to do and everyone's overwhelmed and you were feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm going to leave this big hole. Like they're going to need my help to work out what they should do in the next little while they don't have me. And then they don't, and they're kind of moving on. You're left off meeting invites. I think it happens more in that scenario because, yeah, you are going to leave a big hole. So people really need to get a move on with thinking about what the fuck are we going to do? Like, does that make sense?
Yeah. More than organizing morning tea.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's less about the morning tea. This one is more about the people moving on thing, the being left off stuff, you know, the practicalities of your job moving on. It's so practical. You aren't going to be the one to help them get through this next period because you're not going to be there. And so it just makes sense that when we're having a meeting about how are we going to run this function without you or how's this team going to work without this person, like, yes, you can contribute in the handover or other ways. And maybe in certain teams, they do have you there and whatever, but it's just practical. It's not about you personally or forgetting you or your value. It's just they're trying to think about, well, what are we going to do next?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. And also a good one to remember too, there are so many boring reasons that things are happening. Like, I don't know, what if the boss is away and they're normally the one that's good at this stuff and handles
it? Yes, that's exactly what I had in mind. That kind of stuff. I think people really, I see this a bit when it's a larger organization and there is like an HR team or, you know, more levels of management. And there's this maybe a bit of assumption from people that things happen in a lot more of a structured way than what they really do. And often it's just, oh, there's actually, no, we don't organize any farewells for anyone. It's just the manager normally does that for each team. Honestly, I don't even know that someone's leaving.
All the colleagues, like whoever's a good friend.
Yes, that's right. And so people see these things happening and they think that it's this big structured thing that there's a process and everyone gets one, but it's not because it just happened to be that their manager was really nice and so they threw a big farewell for that last person who left, or their team, it was actually their work bestie who really prompted their manager to do it for them and your work bestie's already left, or like your manager's away, or you have a shit boss, or they work in a different office, or you're part of a team that's like distributed, or it's smaller, or there's so many things that can kind of factor into this process being different. And I'm not saying that any of this excuses it, particularly if you're like literally not acknowledged. Like, I just want to put that out there. I'm not saying that that's okay and that you shouldn't have feelings about it. I just don't want you to take it personally and think that it means more than it necessarily does. Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy. It can still feel hurtful to be like, actually, that people were rude to me. Like, they completely iced me out and actively were nasty to me in my exit. Not okay.
That's a different story. Yeah.
But if you're feeling a lot of these feelings, I want you to step back and objectively look at, okay, well, who did organize that stuff? Like, have they got a lot on? Is the fact that I'm left off this meeting invite, is it just that they're moving on practically, or like, should I be hurt by that? Do you know what I mean? Like, just like, try and get a little bit of distance and think about, are there other explanations for what's kind of going on here?
And also, sometimes it's just a little awkward. Like, people don't really know how to act because, so they might just be like,
yeah,
not avoiding you, but they don't want to, I guess, maybe have a fake conversation of like, oh, I'm going to meet, we'll have to catch up. Like, when it's just known that like, we're just colleagues and like, you're lovely and yeah, we'll miss seeing you around, but it's not that deep. Like, they don't know what the script for what to say or how to handle that.
Yeah. Or they found out, but it wasn't directly from you that they found out. Like, their boss mentioned it to them. And so they've never had a conversation about it. They just kind of know in the background, but they don't feel like proactively going up to you being like, oh, you're leaving. Like,
it's like they've told the person who's leaving tells their manager and the manager's like, can you keep it quiet? So they don't say anything and then whispers come out and then so-and-so tells someone. And so they feel awkward, like they don't want to go up to that person and catch them off guard and make them think, oh, everyone's talking about it. So yeah, that is such a good reason. I feel like I've probably not acknowledge someone who was resigning straight away for that reason. Cause I was like, well, I kind of feel like I should wait until they tell me. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. We're going to do a section at the end that's going to talk about like how to proactively handle some of these things to get what you want, to have a good exit in this kind of notice period time, instead of just relying on, you know, people not being awkward, because people are always going to be awkward and stuff like that's always going to come up. Now, I put this one in here. This one feels a teensy little bit harsh, and cue Emma's eye roll of, you know, the dating comparison again, but it does feel a little bit like you broke up with them and you want them to tell you how great you were after you broke up with them. You know what I mean?
Like, if you're the one that's just got dumped, right, it's entirely acceptable to be like, all right, and then not really want, like, you kind of want to avoid them a bit. You're not going to be like, but please, you were just the best girlfriend I've ever had. Like, it's a bit like,
Yeah. And obviously the comparison is not one for one. Like, this is an employment relationship. They shouldn't be holding things against you, all that kind of stuff. But it is a bit like, why would we celebrate you when you're the one leaving, when all these other people here are still here?
And on that note, you're more likely to, like you said, get the praise as things happen, because naturally a business wants to praise the current employees doing great things more so than when someone's leaving. Yeah, that, it does make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, like, all this is meant to be a little bit of a reframe so that you potentially avoid setting up all these expectations and being so disappointed and potentially damaging some relationships on the way out as a result of how everything's kind of feeling and how everything can spiral. So it's a really normal feeling, but it's like, to want to be acknowledged for all that stuff, but it's probably not super realistic to expect all of that to come in your leaving period. Like, wanting to be acknowledged for what you've done makes sense, but during the period that you're actually leaving is probably not the time that you're going to get as much of that. Now, our last thing is, it's not a reflection of your worth whatsoever. How people are treating you, they could be distracted, there could be practical stuff going on, there could be a whole bunch of things that explain the way that you're potentially being treated. that's not about you and what you've achieved and what you've done and all the important things about your job. It doesn't mean that your job wasn't ever needed. It doesn't mean that you like weren't necessary, that you never achieved anything, that you weren't important, that they're not going to miss you. None of those things are explained by the fuss that is made.
It's kind of like having a bad day and then being like, my entire life was worthless. I've never had a good day in my life. Like, you could have had an epic time there and the end, put that as a percentage of the time you've spent there. You know what I mean? Not having an epic farewell doesn't take away from all of the greatness that you achieved there.
Totally. And I think it's all those other bits and pieces too of like you not being involved in what the next phase looks like. All of that stuff, like your manager seeming distant, everybody kind of thinking about the future already, things getting reassigned from you before you've even left. That doesn't mean that they never needed you. That doesn't mean that they don't still need your help. It's just there's a lot of practicalities underlying that. And I want you to think instead, when we're talking about a reframe, of how do you continue the things that you've achieved beyond them needing to be dependent on you? I'm going to try and rephrase that because I feel like that idea was coming out as I was speaking. But think about the things that you've achieved and the stuff that you want to be your legacy, whatever that is, even if that's something really small, just the people that you met or something like that. You don't want your legacy to be, oh, only Emma could do that thing. Oh, now we're going to be ruined forever because only Emma could do that thing. That's actually not a very good legacy.
You want it to be Emma shared her knowledge. She helped us all come up with better ways to do things.
And it's better even now that she's not here because she taught us this thing and now somebody else is doing that thing instead. Does that make sense? Like that's a better legacy than we need you. We're lost without you. Nobody can ever do this instead of you kind of thing.
Totally. So what can we do instead? A, try not to have any expectations.
Yeah. Or even just be aware of what your expectations are. Like when you're handing in your resignation or you're preparing for this, have a think about what do you expect is going to happen in your couple of weeks or however long your notice period is going to be. What are the things that you think, oh yeah, that's going to happen? Have a think about those. Are they normal, realistic? How are you going to feel if they don't happen that way for a particular reason? It could just all be, yeah, your boss always does this wonderful farewell for everyone and treats everyone really beautifully, except your boss was away and nobody really thought to do it. Like, what if that was the case? How disappointed would you be? Think about those expectations up front. I think that's really helpful. Now, some other super, super practical stuff. I think you need to talk about the fact that you're leaving to everyone that you run into. You have to proactively tell people that you are leaving. Do not wait on your boss to do it. Now, obviously there's a caveat if your boss has said, please don't tell anyone, whatever. Like, sure, you need to work in with that. But I would be saying, hey, I want to tell people now. Is it okay? Like a few days later, have you had a chance to speak with whoever you wanted to speak with? I want to start telling people. Is that okay now? Like, be proactive about that. I think this changes everything. Honestly, I really think this changes everything.
The more people that know, the more likely, like there's got to be one beautiful soul in the building that rallies the troops and goes, come on guys, so-and-so's leaving, we better go for lunch. Who's in? Like that one starter.
Or you just get to have some nice conversations, you know, like even if there's not that kind of card or a farewell or whatever it is, you just get to start having some more conversations about, hey, here's where I'm going, here's what I'm doing. Oh, well, you know, good luck with that. Like they're just positive conversations with people that you interact with. And I think the talking about it is really important because if someone has found out along the grapevine, are they going to like proactively go over to you and be like, oh, I heard you're leaving? Maybe like the really chatty ones, but are the quiet ones that you really got along with and you did good work with, are they going to go out of their way to come and, you know, say goodbye to you? Have a think about whether you've done that for other people. Talk about it. When you see them in the kitchen and you're chatting to them or when you're emailing and you're on a meeting, say, oh, I don't know whether you heard, I'm actually leaving in a couple of weeks. I finish up next Friday. Oh, really? Oh, and then you get to have a conversation. You get to talk about what you've liked. Oh, I just wanted to thank you for your things that we've worked together. I think that's another lovely point as well that kind of segues really nicely. Give what you want to get back. back.
Yeah, tell people what you've loved working on with them. Thank them for how much they've helped. Like, hey, I really appreciate during that crazy survey period, all the help when I was new, you really gave me lots of pep talks. Or go around and tell people what they've done for you, and they're bound to say something lovely back.
Or tell them, like, good luck with the whatever it is that they're working on. Like, you know, keep me updated about how this goes. Like, whatever those things are that you want to say to them, share that first. And I think you'll get a lot of that back. And I think despite whatever else might be going on in your notice period with your boss, with your work stuff being reassigned, with the farewell, with the whatever, talking about it, having conversations is going to be really, really positive. Another one, this is a big one, I think. I think a lot of people don't expect this and they feel like it's not okay. Now, I'm going to say before we get to the end, I've worked in companies who do this stuff really badly, and I've worked in companies that do this stuff really well. I've worked with managers who do this stuff badly, managers do it well. It depends. It depends. It depends. Obviously, if I was designing my own company and it was up to me, I would do the ones that have the really nice goodbye every time. And I know you joked earlier about, like, you stand in a room and everybody says what they appreciated from you. That is genuinely how it worked in one of the companies I worked for.
Yeah, and that's lovely. I would love that.
That is what would happen. There would be a present bought on, like, from company money, not even like from people having to contribute. There would be a card for sure, a digital card so that everybody could sign it and you could write as much as they wanted, like these long things. There would often be a slideshow as well of like photos and memories and videos and funny things, and lots of speeches and whatever as a fit. Like, that's a lot, right? That's a lot. Plus maybe a drinks. That's a lot of things. And it's really, really lovely. Don't get me wrong. It really is. But it's not necessarily the standard normal thing that everyone's going to do. And it takes someone to have real leadership to say, this is how we do this. It's not what people are just going to come up with on their own for the most part. It takes people to take initiative. It takes a ringleader. It takes someone who's going to go, hey, I'm going to do this slideshow for this person who's my work bestie. I've done really cute farewell things for people personally when I had no power or responsibility. It's because I really liked them and I was going to miss them personally that I did a slideshow. That's not what the company was doing. That's like, hey, I love you as a colleague. Let me make you feel special in the lead up to you leaving. So having said all of that, that's not always going to happen for you. It's okay to plan your own goodbye.
Totally. Especially like an out of work, outside work thing. I feel like it would be a little weird if you plan your own morning tea in the boardroom and like everyone gather. That's a little weird. But if you want to organize drinks, go out for lunch, or send out a farewell email, or, you know, gauge everyone, people will definitely show up. They just might know how to start it themselves. Like, if you send out an email that's like, hey, everyone, finishing up on Friday, thought I'd throw it out there, see who's keen to grab a quick drink after work. I bet like 60% of people will write back and be like, I'm in. And then it's a flow-on effect.
Exactly. And the amount of people who will say something like, and this is, I've organized all my own farewells, by the way, like the informal kind of after work drinks or the lunch or whatever it is. There's always been people who've been like, so are we doing drinks? Are we doing a lot? Like, what's the plan? Are we doing a farewell? When's it happening? They want to know, but they're not going to organize it.
Yeah, because everyone just kind of assumes someone else will lead the charge and then they'll follow. So I think this is a great idea. Plenty of people at my work have done this, and yeah, it's always a pile on. You just need to start it.
Be like, hey, it's my last day. We're doing drinks. You pick the day. You pick the time that works for you. You pick where you're going and send it out. Send a calendar invite, send an email, send a text, whatever the situation is. People will come and you get to make it a nice farewell for yourself, and you're not relying on someone else to know what you wanted to do, what day. Yes. And I also think this is a good little like nudge for if you have a colleague who's leaving, don't make the boss plan the farewell drinks. Like, also, who wants to have the boss be like, oh, we're going to have a drink for the person's, like, it's nicer when it's a colleague. It makes more sense when those informal out of work things are from a colleague. So next time you have a colleague leaving, if you like them, be the person who just puts the calendar invite in and says, hey, we're going to lunch. Who wants to come? Well, I hope this episode was therapeutic for people. Maybe you're even thinking back to an exit that you had that you didn't think was that great. And maybe you're seeing it in a slightly different light. Or maybe not. Maybe it was just actually horrific and this episode has just solidified that no, none of these things apply and they were assholes and it was toxic. Cool, that's fine. I just don't want you to throw the baby out with the bathwater and feel really differently about a company and a team and a boss and everyone just because of your exit period when it's actually really common stuff. And I see this all the time and you're not alone.
Hang in there.
Plus, let's look on the bright side. If you're in this situation, you're going to a new job.
Yeah.
You got fresh colleagues. You get all the welcome stuff.
You're going to greener pastures.
Yeah, that's right. That's the positive. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify, or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, and some savable content, when we get around to it, check us out on Instagram and chuck us a follow at Interview Boss, or follow me, Sarah, on LinkedIn. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.